Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So before we start today, I'd just like to mention a word. I'm very appreciative to the devotees of VIHE for putting on these, allowing these seminars to go on, encouraging Harikatha in our society. And this is very, very important. It's nice. I hope everybody, I just want to offer a word for their support. Devotees, any way you can support them, giving donations, and it's a very nice project. And I'm very appreciative for the donation. So, raise your hand. How many devotees read the first chapter last night? You read it previously. Okay, are there any discussions or comments before we start about the first chapter, what you read, or about the introduction, the preface, and the topics we've already covered? Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, in 10th canto, chapter 3, text 31, these three things, bhakti, bhakta, and bhagavan, are not of this material world. So the last couple of days, we spoke a bit about how it is that bhakti and bhakta are not of this material world. These three things go together. We've heard this from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and from Brihannardiya Purana, Bhaktistu, Bhagavan, Bhakta, Sangena Parijayate. That bhakti comes from the bhakta. We discussed some of these points. I won't elaborate on them again so much now. But one thing that we didn't discuss is how Bhagavan is also not of this material world, and why he comes, and what is his purpose in coming. So this first chapter of Mathura Meets Vrindavan is called Krishna's Appearance, and it speaks about Krishna's Janma Leela, how he came in this world and that. And there's a very sweet story there, which Gauravendra Maharaj tells, which is primarily from Srila Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. And also he takes some other points from the first three chapters of the 10th canto, and also from Harivamsa Purana. And that constitutes this first chapter. So we'll read a few things from Maharaj, under the subtitle, Why Krishna Comes. The Bhagavat says that hearing the transcendental Leela Kahani, narrations of the pastimes of Bhagavan Krishna, is all auspicious. If you hear with full faith and concentrated attention, all of the material contamination in your heart will be purified. For this reason, Bhagavan Sri Krishna descends here. This is one of the reasons Marjatishan Vitam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Vidyantya Sohyabhagani Vidinoti Surit Satam. He gives us some opportunity to purify our heart. Krishna's eternal abode in the spiritual sky is known as Sat Chit Anandu Maya Dham, a Dham that is Sanmaya, Shinmaya, and Anandamaya, full of eternality, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. He is always there, engaged, completely absorbed in transcendental Leela, especially Rasa Leela. Why should he come to this material world? It is not his abode. It is the antithesis of his transcendental Satchitanandamaya Dham. This material world is Asat, Achit, and Niranandamaya. It is temporary and full of ignorance and misery. Why should Krishna come here? What business does he have to conduct here? He comes because he is Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, the only well-wishing friend of all living entities. From time immemorial, you have forgotten Krishna, and have been under the clutches of Maya. But Krishna has not forgotten you. He is your well-wishing friend. He always runs behind you. He never deserts you. He is there in your heart as Paramatma. He also descends in many incarnations to this material world along with his Dham and his associates, and he manifests transcendental pastimes. One purpose for his coming is so that his Lila Kahanis will be recorded in books. Then his dear devotees, the sadhus, Vaishnavas, Mahajanas, will come. They will preach, recite, and speak these pastimes. Krishna's pastimes should be heard, deliberated, and meditated upon. Thereby you will get peace and bliss. Your heart will be cleansed, and then you will be able to understand your constitutional position. Krishna is your eternal master, and your constitutional position is as his eternal servant. Krishna, therefore, descends here out of Kridartha for the purpose of enjoying playful pastimes with his dear devotees, to relish his lila rush, the mellow of transcendental lila. Simultaneously, he also gives you an opportunity to relish these pastimes. Moreover, he also comes here for sadhu samrakshana, to protect his dear devotees. These are the purposes of Krishna's coming to this material world. Krishna says in the Gita to Arjuna, he says that paritanaya sadhanam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge, that I come millennium after millennium for two primary purposes, sadhu samrakshanam, paritanaya sadhanam, and vinashaya chuduskritam. And the third reason is dharma samstapanam. But our acharyas have commented in this verse that these last two things, the vinashaya chuduskritam and the dharma samstapana, these are external purposes. These activities are actually carried on by Krishna's Vishnu expansions. But paritanaya sadhunam, his coming to satisfy his devotees, to protect his devotees, this is Krishna's primary purpose in coming. It's described by Shiva Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Guru, chapter 4, text 10. Bhagavan comes, Swayam Rup Govinda, Krishna. Then at that time, Avatara Jai Kale. At that time, all the avatars, Arasabha Avatar, Tante Asin Mile. Mile means to merge with. When Krishna Bhagavan comes, his original form, all these other avatars come along with him inside of his body. Sometimes devotees, they have a conception, an idea that there's some difference between Krishna's Vishnu expansions and Krishna. Well, our philosophy is Achintya Beta Beta. It's simultaneously different and non-different. They're non-different from Krishna. Just like you wouldn't go outside during the Ardha Chandra, during the half moon, and say, oh, that's not really the moon. Only the Purnima, that's really the moon. But the half moon is not really the moon. Half moon is also the moon. Quarter moon is also the moon. It's the same moon, but it's not quite as effulgent and not as much of the moon is showing. The Purnima is complete. So Krishna, he's Swayam Rup Govinda. He's Avatari. He's Purna Bhagavan. He's complete. But sometimes he wants to enjoy in a slightly different way. So he expands himself to some partial manifestation. And those Vishnu expansions come. And so it's Vishnu expansions who carry out the activities of Dharma and the destruction of the demons. Krishna Krishna comes, Krishna kills so many demons, right? Wrong. Krishna doesn't kill any demons. Krishna has no other business. Just like a young boy in school, he can't focus his mind on his schoolwork because he's just thinking about some beautiful young girl. So similarly, Krishna, and this is a perverted reflection of this original Adi Ras in Krishna, Krishna is completely bewildered by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Narad Muni in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that Krishna was so bewildered, I had to come and remind him, hey, you remember, you're supposed to come and kill the demons and do all these other works. You have some business to do. He says, sometimes, Narad Muni says, sometimes people say the Brijbasis were enchanted by Krishna. He said, but actually that's not the fact. He said, rather it's the other way around. It was Krishna who was enchanted by the Brijbasis. So, Krishna, his only business, he doesn't have to punch a time clock and then work very hard and go and sweat and kill demons and this and that. But, Kaviraj Goswami describes that when he comes, at that time, Vishnu Dwari Kori Krishna Asura Samhari, all the demons are killed by Krishna's Vishnu expansions who are within Krishna's body. So what then is Krishna's work? Krishna describes, sometimes people they say, well, why did Lord Chaitanya come? Well, it's very clear, he came to spread Govinda's restaurants all over the world and teach people about reincarnation. Kaviraj Goswami says, no, that's not actually the truth. Krishna says that my Vishnu expansions, they do all that work. That's why I expand myself. And they make them do all the work of establishing the Dharma and killing the demons and everything. He says, but Amavina and Anya Nare Raja Prema Ditti. What is my work? I'm the only one. There's no one else who can come and who can spread Braj Prema. And therefore, we were just singing that Parakiya Bhavi Jaha Brajeti Prachara. What is the purpose of Krishna's coming? Krishna's also a preacher, he's also a Sankirtan devotee. And his coming is for preaching. But what is his preaching? He wants to preach the glories of his devotees. Krishna's Bhakta Bhaktiman. He's a devotee of his devotee. But devotees, as we were saying yesterday, they're Bhagavan or Bhagavat Bhaktiman. They're devotees of Krishna, but Krishna's a devotee of his devotee. And to establish the glories of Braj Prema, Krishna himself personally comes. Now at this point, we may have a doubt about reading this kind of katha and hearing these kind of discussions. We may say, but you know, I came to this society, this ISKCON society, and our focus, our main endeavor is preaching. And this other thing, what is the necessity of this? So, we should think deeply about that. I have a little riddle that I put together I'd like to ask all of you. It's a three-part riddle. There's three questions. And all three questions, I can tell you, are the most simple answers you can give, and the most natural, and the most perfect, and the most obvious. We'll see who can answer these three questions. The first question is, who is Krishna's best devotee? The second question is, what service does that devotee do? Because when we talk about a bhakta, they're doing bhakti, they're doing some seva. What seva does that best devotee do which gives that devotee the position of being the best devotee? And the third question is, what is the best proof of the first two questions? So anyone would like to try to answer? Who is Krishna's best devotee? Can anybody argue with that? Do you want to say something? Giri Govardhan. Yes? Else to say Giri Govardhan? Anybody else? Mataji?
One who preaches the glories of his devotees.
One who preaches the glories of his devotees. Okay. So those are three answers for the first one. We'll make some comments about this in a moment. We'll grade all of you. So the second question, who would offer some suggestion? Let's first answer this first one. Out of all the devotees of Krishna, who is the topmost devotee? That topmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. And that's described in so many literatures. Srimati Radharani, she's the epitome. She's the abode of Krishna Prem. If Krishna Prem assumes a form, that form is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, she's known as Madanakya Mahabhava Mayi Radha. She's the embodiment of Krishna Prem. So, I don't think any of you will have to argue about that too much, but if you want, we can supply so many pramanas for that. But Radharani is the greatest devotee. But then what service is it that she does? And also, by the way, your two answers are also correct. And someone could also say the Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee, and we could substantiate that. You could also say that Yudhisthira is the greatest devotee. Because the Bhagavatam says Yudhisthira, it says Shivji, it says Uddhava, and it says Giriraj are the greatest devotees. But all three of those personalities are worshipping the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and praying to Radharani. The Radharani is in a much superior position of devotion. Radharani has a special position. Krishna has a special position. Krishna's position, his ontological position, is Prithi Vishwa. He's the supreme object of love. That's his position. He's God. And he's the, not just God, Vishnu may say is God, but Krishna in particular, he's the supreme abode of worship. And he's the supreme object of worship. And Srimati Radharani, her position is Prithi Ashrod. She's the supreme abode of love for Krishna. So what service is it that Srimati Radharani does, which is superior to anyone else? What service does she do? What is the best service that Srimati Radharani does? Can anyone say? Anybody's shy? I can tell you a few answers that we've been given before. One person was telling me that she offers tambul, betel to Krishna. Prabhupada, he said like that in Mayapur. He said that sometimes Radharani, she has this kind of mudra, nadi. But in Mayapur, Radharani, her mudra is like this. She's offering tambul. And Prabhupada said, because of this, Krishna can't leave her. Perhaps it was on the basis of that statement from Srila Prabhupada, this devotee said that. But if we accept that tambul seva is the greatest service, then we could all offer tambul and we could be equal to Radharani. That's not a fully satisfying answer. Someone else said cooking, but then we'll ask the same question. So then if I cook, does that also make me as dear to Krishna? Is that activity, cooking, is that the thing which pleases Krishna so much about Radharani? So many people cook. Radharani's cooking is definitely the supreme cooking. And Krishna likes it so much. But is that the supreme service that she's doing? That particular service can be done by so many people, offering tambul. Another person once said by preaching. And that's a fact. Mataji was saying that. Krishna says that in the Gita. There's no devotee who's more dear to me than that devotee who preaches. So that's an answer. But at the same time, we don't feel completely satisfied with that answer. Because we see so many devotees who are also preaching. And, for example, we could pay someone. We could hire some person who sells Encyclopedia Britannica to go and sell Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita's. And we could tell him a few lines, tell him a few things. So does that mean that he's just as dear to Krishna as Krishna's other devotees? We don't find that very satisfying. So what is it? What special seva does Radharani do? That's a good answer. That's a very good answer. Would you?
She enables Krishna to enjoy Bharatiya Rasa.
I would say that your answer is basically the same as her answer, because Krishna, he's enjoying that parakeet rest more than anything else. To support what Mataji is saying, that you may know, not far from here, on the bank of the Jamuna, near a place called Imli Tal, Krishna was once doing Ras Lila with the gopis, and Radharani became Man, and she left that Ras Lila. And that time, Krishna became very, very upset, and he stopped Ras Lila, and he went looking for Radharani. Because Srimati Radharani, she's Rasa Biharini, this is one of her names, she's a heroine of the Ras Lila. So why did she leave that Ras Lila? There's different reasons. Some people, they say that Radharani wasn't satisfied because Krishna was offering equal affection to the Sadhana Siddha Gopis, the Munichari Gopis, the Rishichari Gopis, as he was to the Nitya Siddha Gopis. But again, we don't find that answer completely satisfying. The more complete satisfying answer is that Radharani was upset. Why was she upset? Because this Ras Lila, there's a name for this Ras Lila which doesn't come to my mind now. But anyway, this Ras Lila here. This is another word for it. It's a common Ras Lila. There's so many persons there. And Krishna's pleasure is not supreme in this Ras Lila. Krishna again later performed his Vasant Ras at Govardhan. And that Ras Lila, there was no Munichari Gopis or Rishichari Gopis. That was the Asasakis and Estamanjaris. Krishna's Radharani's most intimate Sakhi companions. That was much more satisfying for Krishna. So Radharani, she was not happy. She gets her happiness and Krishna's happy. So she left the Ras Lila for that reason. But I would say if we look a little deeper, we can even see something a little deeper than this. And if we think about a little deeper, this thing is a manifestation. Of course, Radharani's love can be described in so many different ways. And it's so unlimited that you could present each so many different facets of it as being supreme. But there's one particular aspect of her love that we want to focus on. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, are offering so many different services. They're also thinking something of Krishna, although not as completely as Srimati Radharani. But Krishna says, he speaks this verse. He says, there's only one person who's able to fully relish my beauty and my pastimes. He's only able to fully relish myself, and that's Srimati Radharani. So I would offer that this is the greatest service that Srimati Radharani is doing. And because she's relishing Krishna completely, then she's able to think of Krishna's pleasure. Because she's relishing Krishna completely, she knows Krishna wants other living entities to come to him. So she preaches. Because she's relishing Krishna's pleasure, she arranges for the Ras Lila. She arranges, she offers some tambur. She cooks for Krishna. She does so many things. Because she's relishing Krishna. So these are the answers to the first two questions of our riddle. Now the third question is there. What is the best evidence, the perfect proof of number one and number two? Would you want to say something first?
Yes, I wanted to ask. I mean, what do you mean by read? Does she understand? Or is she actually tasting?
She's tasting. Asade is a word used here, which means tasting, relishing. And I want to go further into that in just a moment. It's a very important question. Very, very important. Thank you. Okay, any answers? Anyone want to try the answer for the third? It's the most obvious, simple thing you can possibly imagine. The perfect proof for question number one and question number two. Would you?
She brings Krishna under her control.
What is that?
She brings Krishna under her control.
She brings Krishna under her control.
Then that's quite easy.
That's good, but it's not an example. It's a situation. But it's good. You're very close. Mataji?
Krishna gave us Chaitanya.
Yes. That's the perfect answer. That's the perfect proof. The Radharani is the greatest devotee. Krishna himself came. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kindu Sovanaya Svadhyo. Svadhyo means to relish. Svadyo yinat bhuta madhurima kidriso vamandiyaha sokyam chashyamana nabhava de kidrisam viti loba tadbhavadya samajani sachi garba sindhu harindu. That Krishna came because there were three things that he couldn't relish. He's Rashika Shekhar, he's the topmost relisher. But there's three things he couldn't taste that were beyond him. And that is the love of Srimati Radharani. Krishna couldn't taste that himself. So in order to taste that, it's a long story, he had to enter into Srimati Radharani's heart and steal that love. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Surupam. He took Radharani's praying, and then a very amazing thing happened. His Krishna Varna became like Champak Varni Radha, the color of a Champak flower. Because Radharani's Varna, her color, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, is the color of Madanakya Mahabhav. She's Madanakya Mahabhava Mayi. That's what's within her heart. When Krishna comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that love of Srimati Radharani covers him in the form of this golden color. Therefore, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Tapta Kanchana Gauranga. The Mahaprabhu comes in a golden color. So he came for three reasons. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidruso. He wanted to know Pranaya Mahima Kidruso. What is it? The nature of Srimati Radharani's love. There's a very special word used here. Prema is not used. Mahabhav is not used. Pranaya is used. That's a very deep subject. Very briefly, Pranaya means when the lover and the beloved become one. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to relish that thing. He wanted to understand what happens when Radharani enters into this mood of Pranaya. And the second thing is Swadyo Yena Bhuta Madhuri Makidriso. What is it that Srimati Radharani relishes of my nectar? What is she tasting? Swadyo Yena Bhuta Madhuri Makidriso Vanayaiva. And the third thing is, what is the ecstasy? What is the happiness that she gets? Sokyam chashyamana nabhavata kidriso. What happiness is it that she's experiencing by relishing that? Krishna is a very greedy fellow. He's a supremely greedy person. He's never satisfied. And he wants the most valuable, most wonderful thing. So he's come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste Srimati Radharani's love. So this is the perfect proof that Radharani is the greatest devotee, that Krishna himself has come to Srimati Radharani. So now what relevance does that have to our discussion today? You may be wondering, why am I going off on this tangent in this other direction? We were discussing just a moment ago about how in our society we place stress upon preaching. And so someone may ask, what is the necessity of some book like this? Actually, the only thing that we really need is we need to have some seminars from those people in Encyclopedia Britannica. We'll have them come in and train us all up in sales techniques, and we'll all go out and sell books. And that's city. That's perfection, isn't it? Isn't it?
It is.
And we can substantiate that in some ways. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted book distribution, and I'm not in any way trying to minimize that. That's a fact. Prabhupada wanted that, and we should serve our spiritual master, our Param Gurudev. Achajira Mataje, Sei Matasar, Tamir Agilagya, Sei Tasar. The essence of our spiritual life is to please a guru. And Srila Prabhupada said that if you love me, you distribute my books. He said, I'll always live forever in this book distribution. So many times we have an idea that all is necessary, then we'll go to the Encyclopedia Britannica people, and we'll get trained up, we'll have some seminars like that, and what kind of line to tell people, excuse me sir, you're from here, from out of town, hey, we're passing these out to everybody, take one with you, and how to stop people, I used to do that also, I still do sometimes, and give people a book. This is a very important activity in our Krishna conscious movement. But Srila Prabhupada, he said that our Krishna conscious society is like a train. And he said that a train requires two tracks to run on. He said, one of these tracks is a track of preaching, and the other track is a track of bhajan, of chanting and praying, of internal bhajan. If you only have one track, the train is definitely going to crash. A bird requires two wings to fly. No matter how strong one of the wings is, if there's only one wing, the bird can't fly. Similarly, both of these things are required. Both preaching is required because this is our service. It's our service to our Gurudev. And in one sense, this is Nambhajan. Because everything we see Kirtanakya Bhakti, Jiva Goswami's taught us that in Bhakti Sangarva, that in Kali Yuga, all the Navaviti Bhakti, all the different ninefold processes of devotional service are contained within Nam Sankirtan. Therefore we say, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevam. Nothing else is necessary except for the holy name. And he calls this Kirtanakya Bhakti. The Navaviti Bhakti is all within Kirtan. So, preaching is also Nam Sankirtan because it's Nam Bhajan, because the third offense to the holy name is Guru Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And our part of Gurudev, our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he's instructed. This is my instruction to all of you. You go out and you preach. This is how you'll please me. So that preaching, that service, we can also understand it as being part of our Nam Sankirtan, part of our Nam Bhajan. We're doing this thing because this is Srila Prabhupada's order, and we have to do this thing. But there's another instruction from Srila Prabhupada also, and that is that we should relish Krishna consciousness. Bhakta gana suna mura danya vachana tomasabha paraduli ange vibhushana kori kichu muni kore nividan. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in his concluding words of Madhulila, the entire Madhulila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks a number of verses. This is chapter 25, text 272 to 279. This is a very wonderful thing. He concludes this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita by falling at the feet of all of his readers and begging from them. And he says to them, my dear Bhaktagana, sunamor dhanya vachana. My dear devotees, my dear Bhaktagana, you please hear my words of humility. Please listen, suno more. Toma sabada paraduli ange vibhushana kori. Taking the dust from your lotus feet is my bodily ornaments. I have one last thing that I'd like to say to you. If you have something very important to say to someone, then what you may do, it's a very important thing. If you go up to them and you start shouting at them, they may not listen to you. They may become angry with you or annoyed and walk away. But if you go up and you put your arm around them and you say, oh bye, my dear friend, like that, you speak in a very sweet way because you have such an important thing to say. And those devotees will listen. It's a Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami who's doing like that. Krishna Bhakti Siddhanta Gana Yata Prapula Pamavana Tara Madhu Kori Asada Prema Rasaka Mudavane Prafulita Ratridine Tate Chara Mano Bringa Gana. What is what he has to say? He said, listen very carefully. This is a very, very important thing and I want all of you to hear. Most important thing. Krishna Bhakti Siddhanta Gana Yate Prafula Padmavana. That Krishna Bhakti is just exactly like a very pleasing, jubilant forest of lotus flowers wherein there's Tara Madhu Kori Ashrada. There's so much madhu, so much sweetness there. Arjuna, in the second chapter of the Gita, he addresses Krishna. He says, Krishna, you have to kill my doubts. And how does he address Krishna? As Madhusudan. And what does Madhusudan mean? It has many meanings. One is that he's the killer of the Madhu demon. It means that, oh Krishna, you should also kill the demon in my heart. But another meaning is there that Sudana, he's doing his killing. How does he do his killing? With sweetness, madhu. This is Krishna's style of preaching. That he's coming Parakiya Bhavija Brajeti Prachar. He's preaching his Braj Prachar. He's preaching in the most sweet way. So this particular jubilant forest of Krishna Bhakti is full of all kind of nectar honey. So he says, I request everyone, this is what I'm falling at your feet for and taking the dust from your feet and putting it on my head for. I request all of you, please, please taste this honey. If all the mental speculators, he says, come and they bring the bees of their minds into this forest of lotus flowers and jubilantly enjoy ecstatic love of Krishna day and night, then their mental speculation will be transcendentally satisfied, completely satisfied. So we're mental speculators. I'm a mental speculator, at least all of you are not, but I'm a mental speculator. I don't know Krishna. I'm just speculating about it. I have some idea, some theoretical understanding. So Kaviraj Goswami is saying it's very nice, and he's flattering me and patting me on the back. He's saying, very nice, you have a very nice speculative understanding, very, very good. Now when you're finished with it, please come over here and just taste this. This is a very important thing. Nana Bhave Bhakta Jana Hamsa Chakra Vakagana Yate Sabe Korena Bihara Krishna Kili Sumala Jahapai Sarvakala Bhakta Hamsa Koraye Ahara. He said, this is a very nice forest of Krishna Bhakti. You'll have plenty of association there. Who's in that forest? He said, there's so many devotees there in that forest who are just like swans and chakravaka birds. And they have a wonderful relationship with Krishna. And they're all playing in this forest of Krishna Bhakti. They're all relishing the honey there. He says, the buds of those lotus flowers in this forest, they're the pastimes of Krishna. And they're the edibles for the swan-like devotees. Just like the swan, the hamsas. They're not eating snails and very nasty things like that. But they're eating the buds of the lotus flowers. So those lotus buds are the pastimes of Krishna. And those paramahamsa bhaktas, those devotees, they're relishing those pastimes. Lord Sri Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, the devotees following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. This is a very important point. Following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. It's to teach us about this Braj Bhav. It's to show us how to relish. To show us how to please Krishna so much. Radharani relishes Krishna so much that Krishna, who's sarva-gya, he knows everything. And he's the source of everything. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He becomes like a madman. Krishna, he goes to the Jamuna River at a certain time in the morning because he knows that Radharani is bathing upstream. And Krishna takes bath downstream just so he can get the water that's touched the body of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes Krishna goes to Yavat, where Radharani is staying in the house of Kutila, Jatila. And Krishna goes outside in the courtyard behind a tree and he makes a sound like a cuckoo bird. And then at that time, Jatila, she hears, hey, who's out there? And then Krishna becomes very afraid. And Krishna stays the whole night in Jatila's courtyard because he's just hoping that he can meet with Srimati Radharani. That's the activity of a complete madman. Krishna sometimes he dresses up like a lady, like a gopi, to come and meet with Srimati Radharani. Sometimes Krishna even, he dresses like a sannyasi. He becomes like a sannyasi just so he can pacify Srimati Radharani. And he becomes so bewildered by her because Radharani is completely relishing Krishna. She loves him so much. And that love, that relishment, makes Krishna go mad. So this is a very, very important thing in devotional service. Sei sarovare giya hamsa chakra vakahana sad
Dhataha Karaha Vilasa Kandibe Sakala Duka Pai Bapa Ramasuka Anayase Habe Premolasa.
He says all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should go to that lake, and they should remain there always under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They should become swans and chakravaka birds in the celestial waters. They should go on rendering service to Lord Sri Krishna and enjoy life perpetually. In this way, all miseries will be diminished, the devotees will attain great happiness, and there will be jubilant love of God.
E-amrita-anukshana Sadhu Mahanta Megagane Gana Vishodhyane Kore Varisan Tate Fale Amrita Fala Bhakta Kaya Nirantara Tada Seshe Jiye Jagajana.
He says, those devotees who have done this, who have taken shelter, the first thing they've done is taken shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and relished the nectar of this forest of Krishna Lila, Krishna's pastimes. They have a responsibility. And their responsibility is to distribute this nectar all over the world. Huh? He says they are like clouds. Sadhu Mahanta Mega Gana. They're just like mega, like clouds, pouring water on the ground that nourishes the fruit of love of God in this world. First, the devotees eat that fruit to their heart's content, and whatever remnants they leave are eaten by the general populace. Thus they live happily. This is the process of preaching in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That all of you, you should live your remnants. You should all give me your remnants. You should give your remnants to all the conditioned souls in this world. The remnants of what you've tasted, what you've relished. After eating that thing, after relishing and tasting it, then you should go and give it to others. Would you?
So I still want you to clarify that it's about relishing.
We have a lot more to say about it. So. Okay.
The one that was argued that Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, the same fact. So, I mean, obviously not in as much detail, so I may say, well, if he said that to Arjuna, then what's so special about Lord Chaitanya and Radharani's mood, because he gave the same instructions to Arjuna?
He gave the same instruction to Arjuna, but Arjuna has a different kind of relationship with Krishna.
Yeah, sure.
And Arjuna's not able to appreciate Krishna as much as Srimati Radharani. Even the Mahishis, the queens in Dwarka, they don't understand the depth of Krishna's Braj Lila. So much so that when Krishna was feeling separation from the gopis in Vrindavan and he ordered to Vishwakarma to build another Vrindavan, as Sanatana Goswami describes this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there in Dwarka, then at that time Krishna manifested a form, his form in Braj. And when the queens saw that, they all became completely mad. They'd never seen anything like that before. So, what to speak of Arjuna, even the queens? The queens are on a much more intimate level of devotion than Arjuna. And what to speak of Arjuna, even the queens? They can't understand this thing. So, Kaviraj Goswami goes on. Chaitanya Lila Amrita Pura Krishna Lila Sukar Pura Dui Mile Hoya Samuks Sumadurja Sadhu Guru Prasade Tahaje Aswade Sejane Madhuja Prachura Chaitanya Lila Amrita Pur Krishna Lila Sukar Pur. Very, very nice. Huh? He's making a very nice nectar drink. The pastimes of Mahaprabhu, they're full of Amrit, means Chaitanya. Chaitanya means a life-giving force. And his pastimes give us life. And Krishna Lila Sukarpur, Krishna's pastimes are just like camphor. Very cooling. Very, very nice taste. Dui mili hoya sumadurja. When you mix these things together, it becomes very, very tasty. They have a song. They sing, like it's in Orissa. Just like a very nice ladu. And Krishna Nam Ghee. It's just like ghee. Hari Nam is like Kandakira. Kandakira in Oriya means sweet rice. So you take all three of these things and you mix them together. Gori gori. And then what do? Ghee. You drink it. This is a very wonderful nectar. So in the same way Kaviraj Goswami is saying here, Chaitanya Lita Mitapur, Krishna Lita Sukarpur. We should mix these two together and relish them. Sadhu Guru Prasadi Taha Jai Ashvare. Sadhu Guru, the devotees, they're relishing them very, very much. Ashvare. Sei Jani Madhurja Prachura. They can understand the sweetness of these things. Jai Lilamrita Bine Kaya Jari Anapane Tabe bhakte durbala jivan jara eka bindu pane utpalita tanumane hase gai korai nartana. He says that ordinary people, they become stout and strong by eating grains sufficiently. He says, but that devotee who only eats grains, who is only taking prasadam, very nice, only taking prasadam, but he's not hearing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. He says that gradually he'll become weak and fall down from his transcendental position. However, he says, jara eka bindu pani udfalita tanumani hasi gaya kore nartana. This is a very dangerous thing. You come to this movement, you may become like a mad person. This is what Kaviraj Goswami is saying. If you just drink one drop of these pastimes of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what will happen? You'll become mad. Your hair will stand on end. And you'll start crying. You'll start dancing. You'll become like a complete mad person. You'll start laughing, singing, and dancing. Prabhupada comments on this purport. It's a very important purport. He says, all the devotees connected with this Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. I'd like to read another thing from you from Srila Prabhupada, from one of Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion Lectures that he gave in 1972 here in Vrindavan. Very wonderful thing. And this might answer some more of your question. This is also about relishing. This is on the 27th of October, 1972. Srila Prabhupada said, this Shraddha has to be increased. Then, when you come to the point of Ruchi, Vasudev Kata Ruchi, that is the beginning of our perfection. At the present moment, there is no Ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons, but they have no taste. They have lost all taste. The preachers could not preach properly to create taste in the people in general. It is not the fault of the people, it is the fault of the so-called preachers, because they could not create taste. They wanted to take the place of Krishna. That was their purpose. Imitation of Krishna, imitation of God. That will not do. You have to create taste, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. This is Srila Prabhupada's instruction. This is how we preach. Kaviraj Goswami is saying, you please come and drink these things. You become an intoxicated mad person. And when you become an intoxicated mad person, then you go out and you increase our family of mad persons. You make other persons mad also. But don't just be a theoretical speaker. Now, that doesn't mean that, oh Prabhu, I heard this thing there, I'm not going to go on book distribution now. I'm not going to go out for preaching because I'm not relishing. I'll just stay at home in the temple and do this. No. We also do this because this is our Guru Seva. Srila Prabhupada has told us we have an obligation to do this. But we should understand what it really means to do it in tattva, in truth. We're not Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. We're followers of Srimati Radharani. If we study Guru Tattva, who is Guru, and we go up and up and up and up, we'll finally come to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Guru. But Krishna himself says he has a Guru. And who is that Guru for Krishna? It's Srimati Radharani. She's his teacher in love. So ultimately, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, says that Gaudiya Vaishnavas actually, we're the best Shaktas. So many of you don't know what a Shakta is. Shakta is a person who worshiping Kali Mata or Durga, the energy of the Lord, like that. He says, we're the best Shaktas because we're worshiping Srimati Radharani. The followers of Rupa Goswami have a very special thing. This is a very high topic. We're not going to go deep into this, but we'll just mention very briefly. Rupa Goswami has come to give a very special thing, Bhavalasarati. This Bhavalasarati is defined by Rupa Goswami as when a devotee has equal love for Radha and Krishna, or even greater love for Srimati Radharani than for Krishna. Most people, they're worshipping Krishna and they don't think very much about Radharani. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he was very unhappy with Mirabai. So many people, they glorify Mirabai. And we offer our pranams to Mirabai. She's a very exalted Vaishnavi. And she wrote some very wonderful, beautiful songs. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't happy with that. Because Mirabai, she never speaks about Radharani. And she wanted to directly come to Krishna on her own. So we don't want that. We don't appreciate that. We offer our pranam. She's a very great Vaishnavi and she's written some very nice songs. But that's not the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Our moods, even if Krishna is calling us, if Radharani is not there, Raghunath Das Goswami says, I won't go there. Even if Krishna is personally calling me, if Radharani is not there, I don't want to go there. That's a very high thing. But the point is for us, is that we're followers of Srimati Radharani. We're followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada says in the purport here. You have to create a taste just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have so many services we do for Srila Prabhupada and for our previous acharyas. And one of the most important services, our family business, is making and distributing transcendental literature. It's a very, very important activity. We should all dedicate our life for that. But don't think that's a one-dimensional activity. Don't think it's just something like the Encyclopedia Britannica people. Part of that activity means to relish. And if we relish completely, then so many people will come. You want to say something, Guruji?
I just wanted to get involved with more like Srimati Radharani or more like Krishna.
Radha Bhava Dhiti Suvalitam, Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna in Swarup, but two things are covering him, are predominant in Gaura, are even more prominent than the mood of Krishna. And that is the mood of Radharani, Radha Bhava, and Dhiti. Her complexion, her varna, is superior in Krishna, Mahaprabhu. And that's why he's known as Bhakta Rup. He's a form of a devotee. And he doesn't want to be worshipped as Krishna. We don't offer him a flute. We don't offer him a peacock feather, a Shankar Chakra, Gada Padma. We don't tell him that you're Krishna because he doesn't want to hear that. He's come to be in the mood of a devotee.
He's going to people
excuse me? Sometimes the preaching we may do like that. There's no harm in that. Srila Prabhupada said sometimes to do like that. But I've noted Srila Prabhupada never gave an instruction for the whole society like that. And he never wrote it in his books. But Srila Prabhupada did give instructions for all the devotees. He said that on Ekadasi, you should not offer Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grain. Why? Because maybe Mahaprabhu might get some sin? We want to protect Mahaprabhu from getting sin? There's no question of Mahaprabhu getting sin, but because he's in the mood of a devotee. He can eat anything. He can eat the whole universe. There's no question eating a few grains. But because he's in the mood of a devotee, and look in all of the books, the paintings that Jadarani and other devotees have made of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under Prabhupada's direction. Count how many times do you see a peacock feather on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. I can tell you in one easy number, it's a round number, zero. There's no time whatsoever. And you may go to the temples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you may go to the other Gaudiya Vaishnava temples, you won't see peacock feather Mahabharata. Sometimes the Gauranga Nagaris or some other persons may do, or sometimes there's some other mood. And we do for preaching, because people don't understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. If we put a peacock feather in the head, maybe that helps something. But it depends on what our purpose is and our deity worship. For our public preaching like that, that may be one thing. But it's another thing also for our own personal relishment. And we're worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to his desire. We could also give him a bow and arrow and show everybody that he's not different from Lord Ramachandra. He manifested his Sadguj form sometimes. We could give him a flute. Gurgavindra sometimes he would say that, break his legs, make him Tribhanga in threefold bending form and give him a flute. He said, this is the same kind of thing that we're doing by putting a peacock feather on his head. He's a subtle... Excuse me?
Who was saying that?
Gurgavindra Maharaj. He says, because Krishna, he's in Tribhanga. His legs are bent. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's not curved. He's very straight. Krishna is very crooked. He has a monopoly on crookedness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming as a devotee. He's very, very simple. And he says, Mahaprabhu says, Jariyama prati sneha take sabakara tabe Krishna vyatirikta nagaibeya. He says, if you really love me, you'll love my instructions. If you really love me, you want to offer something to me, don't give me cooked things in oil, because I'll die. I can't eat that. Mahaprabhu is saying, if you really love me, you'll love my instructions. And what is my instruction? Tabe Krishna Vyati Rita Naga Ibeya. Don't chant my name, you chant Krishna Nam. Why is it Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna? Why don't we chant Guru Nam? Why are we chanting Krishna Nam? Because by chanting Krishna Nam, we're doing Gaura Bhajan. We're worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're not worshipping Krishna. We don't know who Krishna is. That's a very big thing. But we're chanting Krishna Nam because by chanting Krishna Nam, we're worshipping our Guru and we're worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is their instruction. Gorara Ami, Gorara Ami, Muke Bolile Nachale, Gorara Achara, Torara Vichara, Loile Falafale. Jagannatha Pandit says that there's a certain class of people running around going, Gorara Ami, Gorara Ami, Gorara Ami. I'm a devotee of Mahaprabhu, I'm a devotee of Mahaprabhu, I'm a devotee of Mahaprabhu. He says, but they're not really devotees at all. The devotee of Mahaprabhu is that person who follows the instructions of Mahaprabhu and then preaches. And he gets the fruit of being a devotee of Mahaprabhu. So we should understand Mahaprabhu's very deep purpose in coming. Whenever Krishna comes, he comes for a particular reason. He comes to relish something. When he wants to enjoy his Madhurja Leela, then he comes in his Swayamrup form, as Govinda Shamsundar, and he enjoys the Rasa Leela here in Vrindavan. When he wants to enjoy pastimes which are full of munificence, his Odarja Leela, then he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he manifests pastimes in Navadvipa and in Jagannath Puri. When he wants to enjoy his Aishvarja Maya Leela, his pastimes, which are full of opulence, but mixed with a little sweetness, then he manifests himself as Dwarkadish, the Lord of Dwarka. And when he wants to enjoy pastimes a little more opulent, then he manifests himself as Lord Ramachandra, as Marya Purushottam, the embodiment of Vedic Marya, Marya, Vedic rules and regulations. And when he wants to enjoy complete Aishvarya, then he manifests himself as the Lord of Sita, the Lord of Lakshmi Devi, Srinath, in Vaikuntha. And he manifests his very opulent pastimes. So we worship the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says in one purport, according to the mood that he comes in. We nourish that particular thing. We don't offer Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a flute or a Shankaracharya Chakrapadma because that's not his purpose in coming. He's relishing a different thing. Is that okay? Would you?
Sorry, may I ask questions?
Oh, please. Sorry.
So you were saying that Radharani left that
Rasalila.
That wrestling area because it wasn't intimate enough. There were so many other desires in there. So then, if we view ourselves as distributing books under the instruction of the extensions of Radharani and her intimate associates, etc., to invite other spirit souls to be a part of that, and aren't we diluting the nectar Krishna is looking for?
Well, everybody has to start somewhere. So we begin with this thing, but we should teach people again and again, just as Sumaraji was pointing out, yesterday Prabhupada says that we should distinguish between a Kanishtha, Madhyam, and an Uttam. We want to associate with an Uttam. Similarly, we want to hear about Krishna's topmost devotees, the gopis. Srila Prabhupada, even in one discussion with the editors of BTG, he told the devotees, he said, don't boycott the gopis. He said, this is our purpose in coming here. Gopi Bharta Hupada Kamali Hardasa Dasa Nardasa. This is our identity. That we're the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the gopis. What is it? A Raja Bhagavan Brajesa Taniyasta Dhamma Vrindavan Ramya Kachid Upasana Brajavadu Vargena Bhakalpita. This is an opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The topmost abode is Vrindavan. The topmost form of the Lord is Krishna. And the topmost devotee is the gopis, the Brajabhadus. So we keep them on our head. We don't wear them like shoes or treat them as a common thing, but this is our goal. We worship them like that. And we should think. We can meditate something like that. It's a very nice thing. We should do something with our mind rather than reading newspapers and thinking about the opposite sex and all kinds of rubbish things. We should try to think about these things and relish these things. And if we do that, we'll have some depth, we'll have some purity. People, they're attracted by that. I remember when I first joined in 1982, the devotees were still hearing from so many of the senior book distributors who were the best book distributors at the time of Srila Prabhupada. And they were emphasizing to us that the way to sell books is that you yourself have to be so happy and so ecstatic. And people, when they meet you, they don't even care what you're saying. They don't care about the book. They're just looking at you and thinking, man, what is this guy? What is he on? What does he have? You know, whatever he has, I want that also. People are really, really attracted by that. Not by debate and by logic and argument or how pretty you make the book. Those things are there. We should become expert in debate, and we should dress ourselves very nice, and we should learn very expert lines, and we should make the books look very beautiful. But the most important thing is that we should relish, and we should be very, very happy, and people will become defeated by that. I don't want to speak so much about myself, but we'll tell a little story in this regard. Sometimes, when selling books in LAX, the airport, sometimes Christians would come through, and they would want to come and disturb your service, and they would waste so much of your time. And it was very, very difficult. So we tried so many different things. Being nice to them didn't really work. Arguing with them, that was the worst thing. Trying to debate with them was just terrible. And finally, we came up with one technique that worked very, very good. You could usually tell them because, first of all, they would walk up to you. Most people don't walk up to you, and they have a kind of silly, stupid grin on their face, usually. And they come up, you know, and they're a little bit nervous because they think you're some kind of demon or something like that. And they would come up and they would say, "Have you heard the word of the Lord today?" Or something like that. And what we would do immediately, we would look at them and grab their hand and say, "Are you a Christian?" And they always did the same exact thing. They would take a step backwards. As soon as you said that, and they'd say, yes. Because they weren't expecting you to do like that. They became a little unsure of themselves. They'd say, well, yes. He said, really? Oh, it's so wonderful to meet a man of God out here. I can't tell you. I'm just so nice. And you'd just be so happy to see them. And just, it's just so wonderful to meet a man. There's so many demons and nasty people out here. To meet a man of God, it's such a wonderful thing. I'm just so happy. And take a flower. So he wouldn't take a book usually. But you give them a prasadam flower or something like that. And then we did this many times. I never ever had it. Every single time we had the exact same reaction. They would just get a kind of dazed look on their face. And then they would just walk away. And that would be it. So if we have some relishment, if we're happy with people, you'll defeat them. Not by argument, not by your physical strength, or by your beauty, or this or that, but by happiness. This is Radharani's supreme weapon. She defeats Krishna. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narad Muni, he tells Prahlad. He glorifies Prahlad, and he speaks about Prahlad's very special quality. Krishna Vishto Yo Smitab Meva Mato Nityangayam Kampanam Udamscha Lokan Sarvan Udaran Samsitibyo Vishnor Bhaktim Harshayam Asatandam. He said that, my dear Prahlad, he said, when you are meditating on Krishna, you become so absorbed and you just completely forgot all about your own existence. And then he became like a mad person and he started dancing and singing very loudly and your body trembling. He said, in this way, when you did this thing, by dancing and becoming in ecstasy like that, you were preaching. You were spreading devotional service unto Vishnu and delivering all the worlds from the cycle of material death, material life, and filling them all with joy. This is preaching. Similarly, in Jiva Dharma, there's a very nice story about the Sannyasi Thakur. It was a very, very dry Mayavad Sannyasi. And then one day in Kashi, I think it was, he happened to see some fellow walking by, dressed in white, and he was crying and crying, "Ha Goranga, Ha Goranga." And this Sannyasi Thakur, who was very absorbed in reading Veda Vedanta and the commentary of Shankaracharya and so many things, he saw that person and something happened in his heart just looking at him. And then the person got lost in the crowd. And he didn't speak to him, didn't he? He just saw him crying and heard him chanting his Ha Goranga, Ha Goranga. What is this? And he became completely curious and he started trying to find that man. And he couldn't find him anywhere. And he couldn't get him out of his mind. He couldn't think anymore about his Veda Vedanta. He just saw this person one time crying like that. And he started asking everybody, who is this man? He must have been one of those mad followers of that Nimai Pandit, you know. And Navadvipa, they're always crying and chanting like that. They're mad people, you know. Where is this Navadvipa? Oh, in West Bengal. So he went to that place immediately, looking for the devotees, and he became a Vaishnava. So what argument did they use? What was the line they used to sell him a book? There was no line, there was no argument. Simply on the basis of that person's ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada came, as we were saying yesterday, and he did the same thing that Allen Ginsberg did externally. He sat down and chanted Hare Krishna in the park. But there was a big difference. Jiva Goswami says there's two types of chanting of Krishna Nam. There's Kevala Nam and Sneha Samyukta. This Kevala Nam is common chanting. Allen Ginsberg, he's chanting, that's very nice, very good. He's getting so much Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti, very nice thing. But when Srila Prabhupada is chanting, that's Sneha Samyukta Nam. He's chanting with praying, with love. And that completely transfixed everyone. Just hearing Srila Prabhupada's chanting. Such a preaching. So this is our service. This is our service in this Krishna conscious movement. We must relish. And it's for that reason that Gaura Vinamaj, he gave these lectures. Srila Prabhupada told him. He gave him a personal instruction. Gaura Vinamaj told us this many times. And Prabhupada told him, I want you to preach to the devotees. And Gaura Vinamaj said that I want to show that everything is within ISKCON, everything is within Srila Prabhupada's books. He wanted to help the devotees. He wanted to help us to relish. Because if we don't relish, if all we do is become like book salesmen, with no deeper understanding of what we're selling. And we become just like donkeys carrying very nice sandalwood. No, it smells very good, but we can't appreciate it ourselves. And what is the benefit of that? And we can't really properly serve Srila Prabhupada. So that was the purpose that he gave in his lectures, and that was the purpose of this Mathura Meets Vrindavan. To show devotees how we can relish. And Maharaj, just for the record, sometimes people say that Prabhupada, sometimes people very offensively, Gaura Vinamaj would get very angry about this. Sometimes people would say very offensive that Prabhupada, he only gave ABC. We don't accept that. Prabhupada gave everything in his books. You read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we were saying yesterday, you read Madhyalila chapter 8, the last part of Madhyalila chapter 8, and try to tell me that's ABC. That's very, very high topics, huh? Prabhupada gave everything. But he emphasized ABC. Because he's a perfect preacher, and he saw that the students, the people that he's preaching to, that's all they could understand. So he emphasized ABC. And he told Gaura Vinamaj, I want you to preach to the devotees. Sometimes devotees, they think, oh, Gaura Vinamaj, he's preaching a very high thing. He was not speaking X, Y, Z. He's not speaking very high things from Ujjalima Mani and Lita Mata. He would take some things from that, but not the most intimate things. If Prabhupada emphasized ABC, then we may see Gaurgavinda Maharaj emphasize DEF. Same kind of thing. It's not a very high thing, but a simple thing, because we need to continue. We need to keep hearing. It's a very, very important thing. We need to see that these things are coming from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have these things. And that we can't serve Srila Prabhupada properly or completely unless we're doing it in this way. Unless we're relishing. Many times he would say that unless you have Krishna praying, then your so-called surrender is either artificial, partial, or conditional. It's not real. It's not true. It won't last. We have some surrender, and that's very good. We should glorify those devotees. We should appreciate very deeply the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are following Prabhupada's instructions and going and preaching all over the world and doing the activities Prabhupada told them. That's a very great thing. I can sit here and quote so many verses and this and that and the other. But the real thing is we want to see someone surrender. But even that surrender without prema, without love, it's either artificial, partial, or conditional. It's not complete. And it can't completely last. So we're below the platform of surrender. Even in the platform of surrender, these things should be there. Guruji?
This is the big debate between works and grace, to quote the Christian.
And both have to be there.
Yeah, we're going to be qualified. So, I mean, we rely on the mercy of our previous acharyas and our spiritual master. So, is it realistic to talk about achieving Krishna prayer before we go back to Godhead? When we try our best, but ultimately we just
But if you think about these things, you'll know the answer yourself. It's a very common thing. If you're in Sri Lanka and you want to drive to the Himalayas, and you decide, now which direction should I go? Maybe I'll go east. You're gonna get wet. You're gonna have to go north. You're gonna have to keep in mind what is the goal. Srila Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur said, our goal, we are not after, he said, anartha nivritti. We're after artha pravritti. That's our mission. Not anartha nivritti, artha pravritti. Meaning, we don't want to just become free from anarthas, but we want the goal. So if we don't know what is that goal, then I've seen devotees, ISKCON devotees, become bhaktas of Hanuman and worship even Panchamukha Hanuman, which Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't do, and worship Lord Ramachandra and worship Lord Narayan. And that's fine. Let them do like that. But that's not what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That's not why Srila Prabhupada came to America. We should understand what is our goal. There's a difference between understanding what is our goal and behaving in the way once we've attained that goal. We were speaking in the first day about three things, abhyasa, manana, and smarana. And now Vishwanath says, our goal is smarana, to remember Krishna. But the first thing is abhyasa, abhyasa yoga yukteena. We have to engage ourselves. We have to sweep the room, clean all the dirt out. And then when all the dirt's out, we push all the anarthas out. We become a little peaceful. Then manana, we can think a little bit. And then when we begin to think, we start meditating so much. Why did my Gurudev told me to chant like this? Why didn't Srila Prabhupada have us worship Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan? What is the difference between Krishna and Narayan? Why did Prabhupada do that? We start thinking about those things and thinking about it from the point of view of Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing with devotees. Then after doing that for some time, our mind goes deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness and we come to the platform of Marana. We die. Before we come to the platform of Smarana, first is Marana. We die. It means that we give up our material aspirations and material desires. And on that platform, we can practice smarana. But if we don't, on the way to that thing, if we don't know what is our goal, if we don't think about it, how will we ever get there? Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he discusses different anarthas. And one of them, he says, is not understanding rasa. In the very beginning, that we should understand something about rasa. And therefore, if you read in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, you read in Harinam Chintamani, you read in Jiva Dharma, very basic books which he wrote for common people. You read in the last chapters of this, and it's very, very high subject matter. All about Radha Krishna Ras. Not that he wasn't intending that we should practice those things. And a very interesting example of that is in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, when he speaks about Rasa and so many things, and then he speaks about Astakala Lila Smarana, remembering the Lord's pastimes in the 8 different periods of the day. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives all of those pastimes for us to meditate on in Jiva Dharma. But he does it in Sanskrit. He wrote the whole book in Bengali with a few quoted verses here and there, which he gave explanations for. But when he came to that point, he just gave the Sanskrit verses. And we can understand something about that. That means this is a little bit private. If you really want this thing, you're going to have to try a little harder. You're going to have to learn Sanskrit. And he describes very clearly in Chaitanya Sikshamrita what is the qualification to hear these kind of pastimes. Is that we should become free from our material desires. But at the same time, Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on Chaito Darpana Marjana, he speaks about Shraddha. And he says there's two basic types of Shraddha. There's Paramarthika Shraddha and there's Lokik Shraddha. Of Paramarthika Shraddha, he says there's Madhurja Lila. There's two types of Shraddha. One is that Shraddha which is based Shashartha Vadarana Mayi Shraddha. The Shashartha Vadarani Mayi Shraddha is Shraddha is faith which is based on the Shastra. And it's endowed with awe and reverence and fear. And there's another type of faith, Bhagavat Lila Madhurja Mayi Shraddha. And that faith is impelled by greed. And both of these types of faith, he says, come from Sadhu Sangha. But the second one comes when we associate with Premi Bhaktas, who are speaking the pastimes of Krishna. That creates a greed in our heart. And he says these two types of Shraddha lead to different types of bhakti. One leads to Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other leads to Raghunuga Bhakti. And our line, we're followers of Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this Raghunuga Bhakti. We should have this thing in our mind. It doesn't mean that we should become like Sahajis or we should start meditating on Asakala Lila every day. We don't have Adhikar for that. But we should understand some basic philosophy of what is our goal, who are we aspiring for. Is that okay?
Slightly different question, but I'd rather talk to you about it afterwards.
Maybe we'll take a break now. We'll come back about 12 o'clock. Take a little 20-minute break, stretch our legs, chant Gayatri, drink a little water. Srila Prabhupada Kida, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Kida, Gopremananda Hari.